welcome to another episode of 2 Minutes Dos Minutos. It's great to have you back with us here at the Zeus Tech Studios. I'm joined, as always, by producer Brian and Alf. And Alf, why don't you take 2 Minutes Dos Minutos and let our listeners know what they're in store for today.
Thank you, Mike. We're going to have a super show, literally. For the 2 Minute segment, we're going to talk about your Super Bowl experience. You actually attended the Super Bowl live and in person.
Yes, I did.
And for the Dos Minutos segment, we'll talk about Al's pet peeves.
Oh, you got stuff you need to get off your chest.
Oh, big time. And it has to do with phone calls, inbound and outbound calls.
Okay. Well, that sounds pretty good. So where would you like to get started with the Super Talk and the Super Bowl 54 that was just played here in beautiful Miami?
Mike, I got to tell you, everybody's wondering the first question, and I'm getting a lot of texts like this, and it is, how did you get tickets to the Super Bowl?
Well, I was very, very fortunate. Natalie, my wife, and I have some very, very good friends that live in, of all places, London, England. And it's a gentleman that I met when I was in the insurance business, when the three of us were at American Bankers. At the time, I was in the segment of the business where we were insuring thoroughbred racehorses, prized livestock. And so this gentleman was basically our reinsurance broker. He would take our policies and find more places to put the insurance. So, for example, some of our horses were insured at Lloyd's of London. So we'd call him and he would be the insurance broker to place the insurance with other carriers and in many cases with the syndicate in London. That's how I got to know him. Then I find out he's a professional NFL football fan, not a soccer fan, a professional football
fan.
Out
of London.
Living in London. And so we start talking about football. You know me, I'm a big football guy. I play a lot of fantasy football, know a lot about the NFL. And so we just start talking every week, and we would continue with this relationship, and every football season, we'd talk every week about the teams and the games and who did I like, and that continued on, and it still does to this day. And so he sent me an email back last May, and he said, Mike, the Super Bowl's coming to Miami, and my wife and I are going to be there, and we want you and your wife to join us.
Really?
And I said, well, that's very nice of you and very generous of you. Of course, we'd love to go to the Super Bowl. I don't know how I can thank you. And he said, don't worry about it. We're going to go and have a great time. I've got a connection. I'm going to get some tickets. And once I get the tickets, I'll let you know what we wound up getting. So he reached out to me a little bit after the season started. And he said, I got a great deal. He said, it allows us to meet NFL legends before the game starts. We're going to have an A-list music performer give us a performance before the game. He said we're going to have seats right on the 50-yard line.
Really?
But most impressively, he said, immediately following the game, we are going to have access onto the field. And we're going to be able to go down onto the field where they just played Super Bowl 54.
While they're crowning the champion of the Super Bowl.
That's correct. That's correct. And I'll have some stories to tell you about that experience. But so that was the entire experience he laid out for us. And sure enough, you know, he and his wife came into town, and my wife and I were their guests, and we went and had a great time, all thanks to my friend, who I have to give credit to, Phil Nelson, from London, England.
We're writing that name down because we all want to know Phil Nelson, that's for sure.
He's a great friend to have.
He's the next friend I add to my Facebook.
Now, was there anything out of pocket from your side, or was it complimentary?
Everything with regard to the tickets, the entire day, transportation, everything, he covered it all.
Oh, my God.
So, of course, my wife and I bought them some thank you gifts.
Yeah,
What else do you do? I mean, my goodness, you know.
I think I'm going to tattoo his name, Phil Nelson, in my body somewhere.
Yeah, extremely generous, and we had a great time.
So 50-yard line.
Yes.
Okay, so walk me how you actually transported there. What was your vehicle? How did you get there?
So Phil had hired a car for us for the entire day. So an SUV was waiting at their hotel. So my wife and I made our way to their hotel in the morning and met up with them there. We got in the SUV, drove to the stadium. He had the vehicle booked the entire day, the entire night. So the driver parked at Hard Rock Stadium and stayed there the entire time.
Really?
And
just waiting for you.
Just waiting for us. Whenever we decided to come out, the vehicle was there. We got in it, and he took them back to their hotel and then took my wife and I home.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was a wow.
I mean, the entire day was an incredible experience.
So he parks there. So tell us about pre-game activities. When you get there, what happens? I mean, obviously, this is VIP or executive kind of experience here.
Yeah, it was pretty high experience, you know, big time experience. So we get there and you enter Hard Rock Stadium through the club level, where folks that have club seats for the Dolphins and what's called the 72 Club, that's how they would enter. And so we walk in and we are immediately greeted with glasses of champagne.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
And someone takes us and escorts us right into the myriad of dining rooms that they have. And they're all just
buffets of food,
sushi, you know, carving stations, you name it, and it's all there. And then we make our way into a room that is full of leather sofas, and it's got a little stage set up. And someone introduces themselves to us and says, "Hey, why don't you all come in?" And all of a sudden, another gentleman comes over and he says, "Welcome to the Havana Lounge." He said, "My name is Juan and I'm with Bacardi. And part of your experience today is a Bacardi tasting." So they immediately take us to a table where the four of us sit down and they bring out snifter glasses for each of us to try three different varieties of Bacardi rum.
Nice.
Now listen, we've been there all of 10 minutes, and this is already happening. So we go through the tasting, the rum tasting, and he's giving us the whole history of the rum and how they make it, and fascinating time. There's a guy hand rolling cigars over here on the side if you'd like to take some cigars home or something. And before you know it, I look up, and who's walking directly towards us but NFL legend, two-time Super Bowl winner, Joe Theismann.
Really?
From the Washington Redskins.
Unbelievable.
And Joe walks right up to our table of four and says, "Hi, folks, I'm Joe Theismann. It's nice to meet you. It's nice to see you all here at the Super Bowl." We get up, and we all get a chance to shake hands and meet Joe Theismann, all get our pictures taken with him. And I noticed that he's got his two Super Bowl rings on, one on each hand.
Wow.
And so, you know, when he wants to take a picture with him, he kind of fists his hands and puts one hand over the other. And I said, "This is a great opportunity. I happen to be wearing a Miami Heat championship ring myself." And so I said, "Joe, you mind if we get a picture, put all these rings together?" And he looked at it and he said, "Whoa, where'd you get that?" And I said, "Well, I work for the Miami Heat." I said, I'm fortunate enough to have been part of three championships. I've got three of them. He says, "Oh, my gosh. All right, well, here, put your hand up in here, and I'll do this. We'll have a great picture." And so we'll make sure to put that up on social media.
Oh, yeah. Where you can Producer see, Brian, you got to do that.
Joe Theismann and I with our rings, kind of showing off our rings for the day. So we met Joe pregame, the music celebrity they had, the former lead of Hootie and the Blowfish, Darius Rucker.
Oh, wow.
Darius was
see,
there.
See, now I'm jealous.
He played a set.
That's awesome.
And there we are, you know, watching him do his thing.
I quit.
And then later on in the afternoon.
Pictures of this stuff.
We do have pictures of everything. And later on in the afternoon, we had a chance to meet another NFL legend, Rod Woodson, who played for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Wow.
And got to hear his thoughts on the Super Bowl. And it was an amazing pregame experience.
So all of this before the game even starts.
Game hasn't even started yet. I would say it's probably somewhere around 4:30 now, and the kickoff isn't for another 2 hours.
Okay, so tell me what you do in the next 2 hours.
So from there, we thought it would be kind of neat to go check out our seats and see exactly where we'd be experiencing the Super Bowl from. So we get to our section, and it's a couple hours before kickoff, so there's not a whole lot of people yet in the stadium. But the staff is there, and they were nice enough to offer to take pictures. We get our pictures taken with where we are and what section. And so then we're kind of just looking around. Well, the next thing you know, it's about time for the players to come out and start warming up. So there's Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback for the Chiefs, and Jimmy Garoppolo, the quarterback for the 49ers. Well, they're 100 feet, 300 feet, whatever it is, away from us. So we're captivated with watching these guys with their practice routines. And so we watch the teams warm up and get ready to play in the Super Bowl.
Oh, my. Oh, that's fantastic. And you don't even see that on television because they're talking about the game. But you're experiencing already some of the players already while they're warming up.
That's right. So we're actually watching the warm-ups and seeing them stretching and running their routes and the quarterbacks throwing and the defensive backs warming up and how each group does their own specific warm-up to prepare themselves for the game. And then I would say probably around 6, they started with all of the big pregame stuff because there's a lot that goes on. It's not just, okay, let's sing the anthem and let's all of a sudden, you know, kick off the game and let's get started. So DJ Khaled had a little mixing session for everybody while they were sitting in the stadium. That started a little bit before 6, and he went on for the better part of a half hour or so, 20 minutes to 30 minutes, and played all of his hits and great songs.
Got the crowd pumped up.
He was calling out, let me hear you Chiefs fans, let me hear you Niners fans. And so it was that was exciting and entertaining. And then the next thing you know, I mean, time really just did fly because there were so many things happening. But they get into the official pregame, which is what you probably would have seen now on television.
Yeah, I think they obviously announced the teams, and then they go into Alan Roach.
Yes.
Actually, as an announcer, you're kind of a study of announcers because you're an announcer yourself.
Right. I know Alan. Alan Roach is a public address announcer. He has been for the longest time the voice of the former San Diego Chargers and now Los Angeles Chargers. But he also is the NFL's official voice for all of their big games. So the Pro Bowl, Alan is doing. The Super Bowl, Alan is doing. The games that the NFL plays in London, Alan is doing those. So he's their go-to guy for all of their special games. And so to hear Alan's voice was not a surprise to me. I have heard it many times, but he's phenomenal. So right. Yeah, he was the PA voice.
And then I believe Yolanda Adams was the one that sang God Bless America.
That's
what a
right.
wonderful voice. I never heard her before. I thought she was wonderful.
I was not familiar with Miss Adams, but she did an outstanding job. And I believe she was supported by a group of young singers from South Florida. So that was
really?
a nice little.
And by the way, they're facing you while they're singing the national.
Yes, they are facing us
on the 50-yard line.
Based on the side that we were sitting on, this was all facing us, yes.
Wow, that's incredible. What a great experience. And then, of course, after the presentation of the colors, then comes Demi Lovato singing the national anthem.
And I thought Demi did a great job. She was fantastic with it. It wasn't one of these long, drawn-out anthems. I mean, she gave it the right amount of time and respect that it needed. But I thought she did an outstanding job. And then, of course, she had the flyover right as she finishes the anthem, which pretty much signifies, all right, it's about time to get down to playing a football game.
Right. So tell us about the football game. I mean, let's talk about up to halftime. What were your thoughts about the game?
First of all, the spectacle of the thing is incredible. The fact, the energy that you feel all the time. It's not like you're going to
a
home game and only the fans are only cheering for one side. You had I don't know if it was half and half, but you had about half cheering for the Chiefs, half cheering for the 49ers, and so constantly there is this energy and this buzz going on. With regard to the game itself, I don't know that the teams played their best in the first half, but you figure they've got to have a lot of nerves. There's got to be some nervousness going on. And you're looking at, in San Francisco, maybe the best defense in the NFL.
That's right.
And Kansas City had been one of the better defenses in the last few weeks of the regular season and into the playoffs. So it made sense that you had a pretty good defensive battle going on, which wound up 10-10.
That's right.
At the end of the first half. So you had a compelling game, tie game, and 10-10. Wow. This game really could be special.
And Mahomes seemed to be a little off, too. He didn't seem like he was on target.
Mahomes did not have his best game overall, but speaking in the first half, he really wasn't the Patrick Mahomes, if you watched Kansas City games during the season, that you saw week in and week out. One throw in particular that it was his first interception of the postseason was just a terrible read on his part, because he had Sammy Watkins at the sideline that was wide open, yet he tried to force the ball more to the center of the field, and he threw it right into the arms of a 49er that I'm certain he didn't see. But, you know, he didn't make those kind of mistakes. I'll chalk that up to the fact that he was playing in the biggest game of his life.
Yes.
For the first time ever.
Yes.
And so I'll chalk that up to that. But, listen, we go into halftime, 10-10, and we're all saying to ourselves, hey, we're seeing a compelling game here.
Absolutely, and it was. Just a question before we go to halftime show,
yeah,
because it was something else. When you were sitting there, did you tend to socialize with any of your people that are sitting next to you? Did you notice some celebrities, anything of that nature?
There was a number of things that happened. It was pretty interesting. We were, our seats started two seats in from the aisle. So there was another couple sitting on our end at the aisle. And at one point, we were standing up, and she kind of leaned over and said, excuse me, aren't you the announcer for the Miami Heat?
No.
Really?
She did.
Who was it?
And it was a couple, a very nice couple, that used to be huge. Well, they are huge Heat fans. They used to be season ticket holders. And so they pointed out a couple of things. They had seen Pat Riley earlier in the day. You know, Pat was at the Super Bowl, so they saw Pat. And so that they were great. They didn't bother us during the game or anything, but they were nice enough to say, yeah, well, we heard you and see you and remember you from all the Miami Heat games.
That's fantastic. That's
so we saw, so we knew that Pat Riley was there. They had a number of NFL legends there and NFL superstars. They were honoring the top 100 at the Super Bowl. So, for example, Bill Belichick was there. And I have to give credit where credit is due, because my friend, as we talked about, Phil Nelson, our seats were 9 or 10 rows better than Bill Belichick's.
No.
Yes.
That's, no.
Absolutely.
And you must have stuck, hey, Bill, I got better seats than you.
Of course, Mike turned around and he waved.
Yeah. That is great.
But, a lot of Kansas City fans around where we were, but I would say we also saw a number of 49er fans. And everybody was nice. That was the thing. You know, it wasn't any kind of adversarial thing where people were yelling at each other or threatening each other. I think, you know, everybody.
There was no drunks in the stands.
Not,
no yelling and screaming and
fights
or any of that stuff.
Nothing. Nothing like that. So.
Okay. Got it. All right. So now the halftime show with Shakira and Jennifer Lopez. Tell us about that.
Phenomenal show. Unbelievable. The show itself was amazing, and I'm guessing everybody listening to us saw it in one form or another. But the setup for that halftime show is incredible. You've got tractors that are hauling in pieces of stage.
Really?
And then they disconnect the stage, and you've got 20 people at a time pushing the stage into putting it together almost like a Lego set and connecting it and getting it all set up. And all this is happening probably while everybody watching at home is either listening to a recap of the first half or watching the guys in the studio.
Yes. Yes.
And so this is all coming together, and you're watching this thing and you're like, wow, the speed in which they put it together is amazing. Then they bring in all the extras, there was all the people on the field that were dancing with them at the time. And before you know it, the lights go out and the spotlights come on, and all of a sudden it's like a laser light show. And up through the center of the stage, here comes Shakira, and the show's on, man.
Oh my. Oh,
and
my.
For the better part of, 15, 20 minutes, those two performers just tore up.
They did. They did. That was probably the best halftime show in a long time.
Yeah, I've read a lot about it afterwards, with people saying they thought it may have been, without question, if not the best, one of the best.
Absolutely.
I had a chance to see the replay of it on television, and it was as spectacular from person watching on television as it was sitting there and enjoying it too.
You know, I can tell you there was a lot of swiveling of the hips on television.
A lot of gyrating.
A lot of gyrations, hip thrusts. And a lot of things to see that we'd rather not go into here, but there was definitely a lot of woman power there. A lot of, you know how men have testosterone? I'm not sure what the women would have, but I'll tell you what, it was a lot of it there.
I think it's estrogen, but...
Yes. I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure. But
not
anyway,
that makes any difference.
But it was unbelievable. She got on that stripper pole.
The stripper pole.
And I totally freaked out. I thought it was Bangs Brothers that was sponsoring that segment of the show.
I bet Alfredo pulled out his ones. He's throwing them at the TV.
He's throwing singles at the television.
Oh, my goodness.
And you know, that training that J-Lo had came from the hit movie she was in last year called Hustlers.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know that.
So how impressive was that?
That's very impressive. I mean, she's dancing, singing, and looking fabulous. I mean, she did a wonderful job. What a great show.
Wonderful.
And by the way, she had this, I don't know, this jacket that had the American flag on the outside and a Puerto Rican flag inside. That was unbelievable.
That was phenomenal. And to see her come out with that and spread that out, the reaction in the stadium was amazing because, you know, it wasn't a stadium full of South Floridians. It was a stadium full of people from all over the country. And to hear that reaction was great.
And it was very Latin influence. I mean, that was...
Oh, there's no doubt.
There's no doubt about it.
I mean, listen, the Super Bowl's in Miami. Miami's full of that flair and flavor. Why not make it all? And then, you know, they brought out Bad Bunny. J Balvin came out as well. I mean, great, great, great talented people that represent the Latin culture. And South, they're part of South Florida's flavor.
Absolutely. So. That was wonderful. What a great halftime show. Okay, so we're done with the halftime show.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get your impressions on the second half.
Yeah, the second half. San Francisco comes out looking a lot better than Kansas City. They're able to move the ball. They're able to get a couple of scores. And before you know it, it's a 10-point game, 20-10. And we're saying to ourselves, I don't know if Mahomes has it in him to bring them back.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, they get one break and they cut it to 20-17. And so there's hope, but the clock's running out. Down to the last few minutes, you know, less than 6 or 7 minutes in the game, and they're down 20-17. They get the touchdown to take the lead. And the stadium erupts so loud when Kansas City took the lead. It was a pass from Mahomes to Damian Williams, the running back. And they had to review it for a while to see if he got in, if he didn't get in. And they're showing the replays on the giant screens in the stadium. I'm sure they're doing the same thing at home.
Oh, yeah.
They ruled that he did get in. And then San Fran tries to come back and had the play. I mean, right there. In front of us is Garoppolo throwing that bomb, and he had his receiver open, and he just overthrew him. And the next thing you know, they had to go for it on fourth down, and they sacked Garoppolo. And on the first or second play after that, Williams goes around end for that 38-yard touchdown. And let's start with the confetti, you know. And that's the post game one. And I know that'll be maybe the next thing we talk about, but that was it. The game ended, and. You've got an incredible comeback, one that Kansas City's done all postseason long, but crowned Super Bowl champions for the first time in 50 years, since 50 years.
And it happened right here in Miami.
Right here in Miami.
Which, by the way, I'm going to little footnote on Damian Williams. He couldn't even crack the lineup here to the Miami Dolphins, so that kind of tells you our player evaluation, right?
Right, exactly.
Anyway, now, post-game, tell us what's going on.
So, clock hits zero. And the first thing that happens is these giant confetti cannons go off, and there's nothing but a sea of confetti all in the air, all being blown towards the field. Now, you know, wind is going to take some into the stands, but most of it's going on to the field. the 49ers are going back to the locker room as fast as they can. And the Chiefs, obviously, are celebrating. And then all of a sudden, down by one of the end zones, here comes another stage building. And they start building the stage for the trophy presentation as we start making our way down from our seats, being escorted down to the field.
You get escorted down.
The group of us.
Oh, okay.
So we go down, and we're on the field, and there's Andy Reid being presented the trophy and holding the trophy up. But one of the more touching things that I was able to see and experience within 10 feet of me was Kansas City tight end Travis Kelce and his father embracing on the field, right there, 10 feet away from where we were standing, tears in his eyes, just hugging his father wearing a red Kelce numbered jersey that says on the back, Papa Kelce.
That's
so
nice.
That was incredible. Watching players laying down on their backs on the field, covered with confetti, and basically making what you would call snow angels, but you were making confetti angels, you know, out of the confetti.
Wow.
And
wow.
So there was Pat Mahomes making his way off to an interview or wherever it is he was headed to. He was in a golf cart being taken somewhere. And so players' families and children and just so much happiness. It was an incredible, incredible experience.
And after that, you go back to your SUV and they take you back home.
We go back to where we left our driver, Stan, and Stan whisks us away and we all head home.
That's an incredible experience, a Super Bowl experience. I'm sure that you will never forget.
I never will. And I told my friend Phil, I could tell you thank you every day for the rest of my life. It still would never be enough.
Yes.
The generosity he showed to us is just amazing, and I'm so appreciative.
Well, with that said, as we end your Super Bowl experience, we'll talk a little about our Super Bowl experience while we were watching the Super Bowl on television. So now this is a segment for Producer Brian. Producer Brian, the big thing about Super Bowls are commercials. What commercials were your best?
Before I get into the commercials, I just want to say, so you both know, that the first, let's say, 15, 20 minutes of the game, I was still editing our podcast from last week.
Oh, you're a dedicated man.
Oh, most definitely. So when I finished that, by the time I came out, I did miss some of the commercials there.
Hardest working producer in the business.
And the best one.
I mean, I'm going to say that two of them come to mind, and one is for, I think it was Rocket Mortgage.
Yes, that was a lot
Jason
of fun.
With Jason Momoa. I thought the production work, the post-production work, everything they did with that was really great. I mean, just to see him come in, you know, this big muscular guy and him tearing off his muscles. And one of the biggest things that I hear now, at least the radio stations, I think over the past few days have been talking about is like, do you really know what the commercial was about? And a lot of people are saying, well, no, I have no clue what it was for. Yet, you know, they really hit it on the mark because yes, people don't really know what it is, but guess what? All of the promotion and everything that's going out there, Rocket Mortgage is getting it. I mean, they're really out there. People are talking about them. So as the commercial went on and millions of people saw it, in addition to that, now you've got all the radio stations and all the, you know, the broadcast shows talking about it. So now they're talking about it and they're telling people, hey, this was a Rocket Mortgage commercial. So now they're still getting that kind of notoriety. They're getting all that out there. And I think it's great. I think it was really good.
Absolutely. I do agree with that. Yeah.
The second one was the Jeep. It was Groundhog Day.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Well,
it was the
with
yeah,
Bill
the,
Murray, right?
Yeah, Bill Murray. And if you remember the movie, he relived the same day over and over and over. What they did with it is they kind of brought it back, and they brought back a few of the characters from the movie. And he was extremely happy to relive this day over and over because he was in his Jeep, right? It didn't matter. And, you know, and he was in this open Jeep, you know, no doors, no windows, no anything. And people are telling him, well, you know, hey, if you keep it like that, you're going to die. And he's like, okay, I don't care, right? Because he's going to wake up the next day and he's going to relive
right,
it.
Right,
so
I
he gets
it.
To experience it day in and day out. So I thought that commercial was great as well. And that was for Jeep,
that's
of course.
That's true. I want to do an honorable mention for me because I thought they did a great job. TurboTax, they actually did a great job. They had a dance that they were doing with the legs, just shaking your legs back and forth with your knees. And they called it All People Are Tax People. And that stuck with me. So I thought that commercial was very impactful for me. Maybe not in the top two as yours, but I think it was an honorable mention.
Well, keep in mind, I missed that commercial.
Oh, okay. Very good. Very good.
Those who work, you know, I just had to kind of get my stuff done. But the ones that I were able to see were that. I'm sure I would have enjoyed it. I have not seen it.
If anybody has any comments about your experience or the Super Bowl experience, where can they send our comments?
Absolutely. Listen, with regard to the podcast, you can always reach us on social media at Dosemin Podcast on both Instagram and Twitter. You can send us a tweet. You can reach us on Instagram. And I'm at The Voice MB. If you'd like to talk about the Super Bowl, if you have any questions about it, or you want to send us some questions, we'll be sure to address them on air and answer them for you and give you credit, whoever our listeners are that send in those particular those questions.
With that said, that concludes our two-minute segment. So we'll take a break and come back with the Dos Minutos segment.
All right. And welcome back to 2 Minutes, Dos Minutos. Now it's time where my co-host Alf gets some things off his chest with a segment that our listeners know and love called Alf's Pet Peeves. And Alf, what has got you peeved today?
I am peeved about outbound calls to toll-free numbers that first take forever for you to get a human being to respond to you. I mean, for some reason, I don't know what's going on, Mike. I don't know if this is a trend. I don't know if the last 5 years I missed something. I don't know. We used to get calls. I used to call all the time, and within a couple minutes, you would find somebody to talk to. Now it takes forever for somebody to even get to talk to. I mean, it's unbelievable. As a matter of fact, these are the messages. You get a robocall. You know, you always get an automatic attendant. And they always say things like, this is the standard language. We are experiencing a high volume of calls, so wait time is at least 15 minutes. Really? and they say, stay on the line. Your call is important to us. Really? If you're important to me, why am I waiting for at least 15 minutes? And by the way, it's not 15 minutes. It's like 45 minutes. And we're talking about organizations that are important. I'm not going to pick on them. But really, 45 minutes to get a phone call, to talk to somebody, to ask them a question? I'll go after one. Florida prepaid plan, right?
Okay.
I called. They say that kind of message, and I'm there waiting forever. Well, you know, once again, if I'm important, why am I waiting? You know, I didn't call 1-800-WAIT, and then we'll eventually get to you. I mean, come on. This is not customer service. This is not a definition of customer service. I don't know about you, but that's
not a definition. No, I'm with you on that. I would be peeved.
I'm peeved. Okay. I'm peeved about that. No. I don't know why they even mention a toll-free number if all they're going to do is ask you to wait and really test your patience. That's really what this is all about. Let's see. You guys are working. If you call a customer service number, you can't even answer it because you got to hang up eventually to work or do something. I'm retired, so I have time to do it and mess with them. It's okay. Now I use both my lines. I use my cell and my regular line to see who's gonna answer first.
So wait a second. Even being retired, you still have a problem with this?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I have a problem. Retired or not, it's a problem, okay? No one should waste 15 minutes for a response. Or, you know, you call. I mean, really? Abandon rate must be super high. I mean, people are not going to wait that long, but of course people like me will because I got nothing else to do.
Then come on the podcast and be peeved about it.
And,
so.
And while I'm waiting, here's another issue I have. They give us commercials about how great their products are. And then, they say, our call is important to us. We'll be right with you. Really? I'm still waiting. That's awful. I mean, as a matter of fact, I don't want your products. What I want is the product for you to answer my phone call. That's the product I want in this case. I mean, I don't really care about how great they are and all that. I want them to answer my phone call. That's why I'm calling you in the first place. But instead, I'm waiting. So it becomes a toll-free number to wait and then eventually get serviced by somebody. And by the way, you always get somebody different, whether it's in Idaho, New Mexico. It's never nobody in one particular state. They're all over the place. I don't know. And, of course, outside the country is another issue. We won't get there.
Yeah. All right. What else has got you?
Idaho and New Mexico are kind of close.
Yeah. And another thing, roadside assistance. I just called it yesterday. Okay, this is fresh in my mind. And this is a very famous roadside assistance company.
Okay.
A lot of it. And I pay a good money. I pay like $300 a year for membership.
All right.
Okay, on that roadside assistance program. And I called in, and guess how long it took to get me picked up?
Well, I would say traditionally those type of roadside clubs will tell you someone will be there within the hour.
That would be fantastic, right? I would take that. No, 2.5 hours. You think that's acceptable?
Wow. 2.5 hours?
So you didn't get the Super Bowl experience from this company?
Yeah, super junk experience. That's what I got. Super shaft. That's what they call it. Yeah, I got the super shaft.
Wow. And two and a half hours.
2.5 hours. Can you believe that? And this is in Miami, not even in the rush hour time.
Mm.
So you're talking at 3 p.m. Eventually became rush hour when they eventually came. But that's absolutely crazy. Okay. So those are my, you know, those are the points. Those are like the outbound calls. What I want to talk about is a serious matter, more serious matter, which is people are getting calls to, you know, it's hoax calls. They're
like scams?
The scams, and it's serious. They're telling them that their Social Security number has been hacked. You're going to be arrested by the sheriff's office. You know, your FPNL bill is not being paid. Your lights are going out. Please call us back. So, as a matter of fact, we're going to share one example following.
Yeah, producer
this.
Brian, go ahead and play that for us.
From the headquarters of IRS, which will get expired in next 2 working hours. And once it get expired after that, you will be taken under custody by the federal officers, as there are 4 serious allegations pressed on your name at this moment. We would request you to get back to us, so that we can discuss about this case, before taking any legal action against you. The number to reach us is 507-246-3227. Thank you.
This is an example of things, and this is serious because, like myself, I understand that that's a hoax. But for older people, they don't understand that. So they call me. They call, like my mother-in-law called my wife. So it generates that call. And then my wife calls me. And then they're all worried about, you know, their electric bill being shut off because they're getting a phone call threatening their bill will be shut up because you're not paying your FPNL bill. You're going to be arrested. That's a serious situation. I don't think that's right, Mike.
Well, I mean, you have good and valid reasons to be peeved about that. Those scam calls, which are, I would say, for the most part, aimed at the elderly, are just trying to drum up their emotions and get them there. You know, I've got a family member who received a call and was told that another family member was in jail and needed to be bailed out. And the person on the other end of the phone was the one that was going to bail them out. But the trick was my family member had to go send them money.
Oh, yeah.
So go get money and wire it. And they were getting up, going in the car, and heading to the bank to do the transaction when it was discovered, hey, what are you guys up to? And you hear this story. And said, turn the car around, go home right now. That's a scam call.
Absolutely. And that's happening.
Yeah.
That's
so happening. Be on the lookout for that. To our listeners out there, be careful. These things are out there. I'm sure you experience them. But you know, your parents or older family members, they're not going to be as savvy about it as perhaps we might. So make sure you even talk with them and say, if you have any questions, call us before you do anything.
And those are my pet peeves for today, Mike.
That is a great episode from Super Bowl to pet peeves. We thank you all, as usual, for listening. We appreciate it. We are so happy and thankful for our listeners out there. I hope you continue to enjoy 2 Minutes, Dos Minutos, and we'll be back again very soon. Take care, everyone.